everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. Yes, the old fat bald guy is back again to utmost respect for. And the person he's interviewing is Bishop William Byrne, the Bishop of the Diocese of Springfield, officially from the Vatican, unofficially from the radio station. He's the Bishop of Berkshire County.
I am the Bishop of Berkshire County.
You are. You
I
are.
Am, absolutely.
Yep. You're going to have to get Mark up here and get him a little house somewhere.
And I'm a fat, bald guy.
So
that makes two of us. I'm a little bit younger. Just, but
I have to tell you, I can't, and the Polish princess isn't here today because she's working the polls, but how many people missed our interviews? So when are you going to have the bishop on again? I said, in case you haven't noticed, I haven't been on. Oh, yeah, no, we know that. But what about the bishop? And this, you really do reach out to Berkshire County.
And I love it there.
I know you do. Folks, the bishop has got two things that has really caught my attention. Thanks to Mark, I have privy to them, and I've spent a great deal of time formulating questions. And I want to start, Bishop, you tell me what you want to, do you want to start with the letter or do you want to start with the realignment? I'll give you that choice.
Let's flip a coin. How do we start with realignment?
Okay,
no, realignment. Let's do the letter first.
The Bishop, of course you understand Massachusetts, passed a new law with late-term abortions. And the bishop, God love him, wrote a letter, and perhaps after Mark can tell us how people could access it if they want to read the whole letter. And I've outlined a couple of things I want to be. In my 30 years of ministry, I have worked with many men and women who've experienced an abortion, either personally, as a family member, or as a close friend. And my experience is that it is difficult and often brings pain, sometimes many years later. Most made the decision to have an abortion not because they had freedom of choice, rather they felt they had no choice at all. Bishop, that letter started off and it grabbed me. It just was amazing.
Yeah, I've done a lot of work with a program called Project Rachel, which is for post-abortive healing. And in the diocese here, we have retreats called Rachel's Vineyard. And my experience was that there are many victims in an abortive situation, not just the child, but all those involved. And I also think there are deep spiritual wounds for doctors and nurses without even their realizing it. And so that has always, having walked mostly with women that have experienced this, but the most important message that anyone can hear along this journey is God's mercy is greater than anything that we can do as human beings. We're not more powerful than God. And his capacity to love and to heal and to forgive is more powerful than any sin that we have committed.
Yeah. When I read that, it brought to mind a lady that was way above my pay grade at the time. She was, I'm going to say, late 50s, early 60s, on the verge of retirement. And I forget how the topic, but she shared with me that when she was young, she had an abortion. And it was the thing to do then, rather than embarrass the family. A lot of justification. But what she ended with, and I'll never forget it, and you brought it right back to my mind, front of my mind, because the back is a closed file cabinet. She said, I cry myself to sleep every night.
Mm-hmm.
So you captured that. I, And I think of her, and I thought, oh my God, what a way to live your life,
Right.
you know. But as we say, and folks, the letter goes on to say, and I have no problem reading this either. At a recent signing of House Bill 5595, dubiously named, and I love that, Bishop, named the Act Prioritizing Patient Access to Care. No, the singular use of the word patient, not recognizing the unborn child as a patient. You brought the consciousness of, I hope, a lot of Catholics to this. I know the saintly Irish mother, when she was here, still with us, when they passed the Roe versus Wade, I thought they were going to have a crazy Irish woman on their hands, but she finally settled down. But what can we do? What can we, other than pray? And I do pray.
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that we can do is make our parishes welcoming places for mom to walk with moms, to let moms who are in a crisis pregnancy, who are contemplating abortion, know that a community will be there to walk with them, help them with diapers. There's multiple pregnancy centers around the diocese. So that's one of the things we can do is to walk with moms. The other thing we can do is we need to continue to advocate. I mean, there was the we don't know which senators voted for or against it. They did it in the was the most smoke and mirrors operation. They did a standing vote, so there is no roll call. And a bunch of them left the room so they could say later on that they didn't vote for it. And so the whole the snuck it right through the and I think that is if you're going to stand up for something, have the courage of your convictions. And this was to show you just how people inherently knew it was the wrong thing to do, and yet they did it anyway. And the pressure, I don't know what pressure, because most people in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts do not support late-term abortions. What they feel about maybe up to the 24th week is different than being able to abort a perfectly viable nine-month-old baby in the womb.
Well, Bishop, I applaud you for standing up, and I mean that from my heart. And I'm sure both of us will get some kickback, but I'm a big boy, and
Yeah, I'm a big boy too.
I know. Yeah, and I
But I
think.
have to say, I've had almost overwhelming support from people,
Oh, yeah.
calls and emails saying that they appreciated my, my words. And my words, as I say in the article, this is not an attempt to vilify
No.
the moms who have made these
No.
decisions, but to recognize that as a culture, we need to step back and look at where we are, if this is really what kind of people we want to be, of have a baby that could live outside the womb. So many people trying to adopt babies and not able to.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm privileged and honored and blessed to have three grandchildren, two boys and a girl, and I refer to them as the gangsters and the princess.
Right. They we worry about having to close our schools. You've had a closure just up in the Berkshires. Well, you wouldn't have to close them if you had babies in them.
And I have to just step back and say what a marvelous job the Catholic schools, St. Stan's, St. Agnes Academy, and St. Mary's in Lee, they do a wonderful job.
They're doing amazing work, all those educators and teachers who really sacrifice to be teaching in a Catholic school when they could get a job right down the road, but they want to commit to educating the whole child, mind, body, and spirit.
And again, we watch all these statistics about this one can't read at grade level, or this percentage of them can't do math at, and who's always caveated, many times caveated out of that, are the Catholic schools.
Absolutely.
And I know during COVID, even in New York, the Catholic schools stayed open. So I'm again, it was, in my opinion, I'm an old man, but I guess I don't guess, I know. I go along with you in the way it was done too. Have the fortitude to stand up for your convictions, not
Right.
stand in the hallway.
Not stand in the hallway, but stand up for what you know to be right.
For those just tuning in case you're new to here, we have a lot of new people in the area. The good-looking guy, his name is Bishop William Byrne. He is the bishop, according to Rome, of the Springfield Diocese. According to the Morning Drive show, he's the bishop of Berkshire County,
And proud to be it. Proud
and proud to
to
be it. And the bishop has got is taking on what I consider just a major initiative, and that is called the what do you realignment,
the
right?
Strategic Realignment Initiative.
Yep, the strategic realignment. Got it right here. The guy in the background sent it to me. The strategic realignment. In the way you start this, we've been, for those people who are of the Catholic faith, we've been through some realignments, but they weren't. But this one, as I read it, this one is embracing not just three or four people in Springfield. It's embracing the diocese and a lot of clergy, lay people. It's whole, I hate this word, but it's holistic, Bishop.
Well, it's intended to be a grassroots initiative. So maybe just to fill people in what we're doing. The Diocese of Springfield is the four westernmost counties of Massachusetts. So Franklin, Hampshire, Hamden, and Berkshire. And this alignment right now is not geared towards every single community because certain places we can't align because they're isolated, they're small, there's but in the diocese, there are about 80 worship sites, 78 parishes, 9 missions, a couple chapels, and we have about 80 active priests. But of those active priests, about half of them are 60 years or older. We've got, when I arrived, we didn't have anybody in the seminary. Now we've got five guys. Next year we should have seven, eight, hopefully. So we're slowly building, but it takes a while for them to get through the pipeline. The premise of this is God's not done with Western Massachusetts. So we don't want to close churches unless we absolutely have to. We don't want to close churches. We want to keep them going, but we have to align the worship, ministry, education, different elements within each of these parishes so that we don't kill our priests before their time. So that we figure out, okay, we want to get communities together and to say, how is this going to work best for in this area? And not one size is not going to fit all. So what's going to take place in the Northern Berkshires is going to be much different than what's going to take place in Holyoke. So what we're doing is we're asking communities to help figure this out. So the models up for discussion come from the parish communities, and then eventually will end up on my desk as the final decision. But it'll be based on all the input of the people. It's not my saying to them, this is what's going to happen. It's they're telling me this is how it will work best in our community. so that we align all of our ministries, all of our worship in such a way that we can function most efficiently until we get even more priests.
What the way you're approaching it too, in the documentation, we never saw any of that before. It was just they're closing this parish and they're closing that parish, and there was a lot of hurt. For the people listening, one of the things that we saw a decline in mass attendance. Now, in 2025, it's going back up, but it's still a decline from what it was in, I'm going to say, 2015,
Right.
when we had 45,174 people attending Mass. Now although again, it's climbing, but it did drop to 22,504. It's gone back up to 30,332. Now, a little aside, Bishop. On all the news programs and documents are, it appears as though people are returning to church. Why do you
Right,
think?
that's true. And we broke records of people across in the diocese and across the nation of people converting to Catholicism. So we're seeing that trend happen. And it's not confusing why, because our culture is crazy. Just go back to the very first conversation that we had about the letter and the late term abortion and all this. And people are waking up and saying, this is not bringing me any peace, this culture, a culture of serendipitous dislike for each other. And so that's why we have the answer. And you know what? We've had the answer for 2,000 years. Cultures have come and gone, kings and czars and emperors all come and gone. You know, the Emperor Caesar Augustus called himself the Son of God. Okay, and then the real Son of God was born down the road. Never heard of him, Caesar Augustus didn't. But I don't know if you know it, but we're not celebrating Caesar Augustus's birthday every year. We're celebrating Jesus Christ. So he's gone, and now, yet he Jesus is he, yesterday, today, and forever. This is the reality that we know to be true.
And when you see this, and it's young people, it's not old people, it's young people, according to the reports,
Right.
coming back to the faith, going to the Catholic religion. I just really, what do I want to say? It's heartwarming in so many ways, but now we have to also keep those people.
Right. If they're coming home, what are they going to find?
And I just really I think these statistics are active priests. Now, you have Father Sears. Well, I call him Father Wild Bill Sears. That guy will be a priest till they put the lid down on the coffin.
Right.
Really. And he gives a sermon that's from the heart and well structured.
Right.
It's not read from a tablet, let's say. But I want to let it go. We had at one point in 2001, we had 142 priests. Now in 2005, we have 67.
So those are our diocesan priests, and then we have about 15 foreign-born priests and religious order priests. So that means working in parishes. So we have the Franciscans, Conventual Franciscans down here, it would be an example of the religious communities that run parishes.
And we just didn't lose him. He was here for a year. Father Joachim from Kenya.
Right.
This is his, I remember him, he came first to St. Charles. And he helped out. Now he just finished helping out at St. Joe. Monsignor Mike, he's unbelievable. But now he at least now he has a deacon that can help him out and is a
Right, Deacon George.
good man. Don't ever tell him I said that though.
Don't worry.
Go
I
right to him.
promise you I won't.
Okay. We're gonna take a break here in just a moment. I am here. This is Bishop William Byrne. We are talking. We talked initially in the first few minutes of the show about a letter that the bishop wrote about late-term abortion that was sanctioned by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Now, in this text, in the late-term abortion text, I refer to us as the common poor, that we were so poor in spirit that we went ahead and did that. Now, that's just me. My opinion, and the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way, no way represent WTBR, Pittsfield Community Television, Pittsfield Public Schools, or the school committee. They are our opinion. And the last time I checked in the Constitution, it said freedom of speech, but who knows today? We'll be right back. Stay tuned. About a few more minutes. Really interesting stuff about faith in today's world. The bishop, he's a, if I may, bishop, is a realist. And we'll be right back. This is WTBR Morning Drive. Please stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. You're tuned to Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings. Retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available online at sandrini.com.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world, and it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
It feels like nobody can agree on anything anymore. But disagreements lead to compromise, and compromise leads to progress. And that's the way we accomplish important things in a democracy. Luckily, we have PCTV's coverage of our local meetings, and we can see for ourselves the issues that are in front of us. We can watch our elected officials decide how to solve problems, and that service must have support to survive. Because if there's one thing we can agree on, it's PCTV's reliable coverage. PCTV, support transparency.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. Welcome back. I'm with someone I have the greatest admiration for, and I mean that sincerely. His name is Bishop William Byrne. He is the Bishop of Springfield. And for those just tuning in, and I know some of you do on your way to work and stuff, he wrote a letter about the late-term abortion bill that was passed by our legislature. And to me, House Bill 5595, this is a really well-written letter that, when I read it, touched me upstairs intellectually, but also spiritually and personally. Bishop and I have both have, I only knew one person, Bishop's known several, a lady, when I met her, probably was in her late 50s, 60s, who had an abortion when she was a child or a younger girl, and told me she cried herself to sleep every night. So, and Bishop wrote this letter, and I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you a couple of times, because I know some of you are driving, some of you are trying to get the kids on the bus, because school started. You can find the letter on the internet at https://diospringfield.org/respect-life-office. And I'll repeat that a couple of times.
Well, all they have to do is Google Diocese of Springfield, and it'll come right up.
Oh, okay.
Springfield, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And it'll come right up, and it's right on the front page when you get there.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll have the bishop tell you how to do that again later on.
Okay. It's on Mass Live also.
Well, Dave Cachet and the team out there at the radio and TV say, will tell you, they would make me wear mittens when I went into the studio. So I wouldn't touch any buttons. So, another initiative, and I know this is an interest to a lot of people in the Springfield Diocese, in the Berkshires. The bishop is, and it's out of necessity. It really is. I love how he said this initiative is a journey of prayer, discernment, and collaboration. Together, we will strengthen our parishes, renew our commitment to Christ's mission, and build a vibrant church that continues to serve people of Western Mass with faith, hope, and charity. And it's a realignment.
Right. So not a closing, a realignment.
No.
And not all parishes are going to be involved at this time. So in the Berkshires, Lenox and Lee, we don't need to worry about that
right
now. And, you know, Lenoxdale, that's all pretty much aligned as it is under Monsignor Banzani's leadership, and West Stockbridge. But in the Southern Berkshires, we're going to have to take a look. And, you know, you've got the parishes in Great Barrington and down there. And how as the priests get older, how can we get those communities to work most efficiently together? And then in the Northern Berkshires, you've got Adams North, Adams. And I'm not trying to scare people, but we just need to figure out, okay, how can we get people talking to each other, figuring out how with one priest, maybe in multiple communities, we can do that. Our priests right now are one of our most precious resources, yeah, our most precious commodities we've got. And if we kill them, then you don't have the commodity anymore. So yeah, our goal is to keep our priests vibrant but healthy and not burned out. Because everybody wants the same thing at the same time. You know, there's communities in where you've got every parish in town will have a 4 p.m. vigil mass.
Yes.
Well, that's not sustainable in the long run. So somebody's going to have one, and then somebody else is going to have the morning mass. And that's what we need to figure out. But I'm not going to figure it out. You are. All everybody who's listening, people that have a skin in the game, yeah, on a regular weekly basis.
And in all actuality, you know, I was thinking of that the other day, because we have one, two, three, at least three parishes And four up in Dalton have a 4 o'clock mass.
Right.
And I mean, it's really handy. It depends on where you are. So shoot over here and go to mass. But is it sustainable?
Right. Not in the short run. No.
No. And I think what I found encouraging, Bishop, was you. How many people, young men, do you have in the seminary now and next year?
Well, we have 5 now. Our hope will have at least 7, hopefully 8 or 9. Oh. Guys are still, you know, it's still so early in their discernment. But we have close to 50 men in discernment groups.
Oh, wow.
And so we did the called by name program, and we had actually 240 names submitted across the diocese.
Wow.
And then we invite these guys into discernment groups, and the discernment group is a low bar. It's not like you have to sign up that day or at all. And I always tell men, I say, listen, you might be called to be a priest, or you might be called to be the father of a priest.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
pray about it, you know. And
Wow. That's an interesting take. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not either or.
Well, it is either or, because you can't be the father of a priest and a priest at the same time.
Oh, yeah. No, but I meant it.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, you don't have to. You can go in there open to whatever.
Right. That's better. You said it. You should really get a job with talking about the church. You got to know. You could have a future.
I hope it.
And a lot of people, when I was telling them about you, I was going to be interviewing, they want to know how are you doing?
Great. So I had, I had a little bit of a, not a little bit, I had a quadruple bypass in March. Thank goodness I never had a heart attack or anything like that. They knew I had some blockage, and the doctor said to me, we could put a stent in, but you're only 61. We'd be doing it again in a couple of years.
Yep.
So let's just give you 4 new tires, and they'll last you 30 years. So they gave me 4 new tires, and I'm doing great. Everything's good. I have been doing everything the doctors say, and walking with my dog every day, and trying to stay healthy.
Well, you had a lot of prayers for you. A lot of people were very concerned. I had the, where did you have it done? Boston, right?
No, I had it done in Worcester.
Oh, Worcester. Okay.
That's where my cardiologist, when I lived in Washington, his best friend was a cardiologist in Worcester.
Oh, cool.
So that's how I connected there.
Okay.
Because I had a link to that doctor there. And so it worked. So that's where I had my surgery done.
I had a triple bypass. You ready? 20 years ago.
There you go.
At Bay State. And so far, knock on wood, so good.
Yeah.
You know, and, I had a Dr. Rousseau. I believe his son was there. Maybe he's retired. But he signed a picture saying Mr. Sturgeon does have a heart. What do you think are the most challenging things for the church today? Because you're right in the mix of it. I mean, the realignment, all the stuff.
Right. I do think, you know, we still face the secularization of our culture. You know, it used to be, you know, I remember being a little boy and Sunday was church and football.
Yeah.
Not going to the mall, not doing anything like that, because they were all closed. And the blue laws, and that meant that the people that worked in the stores were home with their families also.
Right.
And so, so people, you know, what does Sunday morning mean to most families? It means soccer or basketball. You know, they have games and practices on Sunday morning. So there's even if you want to try to do both, it's a challenge. So that's I think that's one of the whenever you have a culture and you look through history, and as soon as the culture decides to move God out of the middle of it, then the wheels come off.
Yeah.
And that's what people are seeing right now. They're seeing a culture where the wheels come off. We see a culture where our governor applauding and celebrating late-term abortions, not just saying, oh, this is a medical care, but like, yay, rah, rah, put on your pink outfit. That shows a bad sign about our culture.
And the going back to when we were kids, what would they, my mother used to, if she told every time we went out, she'd say, now, if you get lost, you stray away, you see, go to a policeman. Right? Today, it's just the opposite. Run from a policeman. We don't need them, you know? I just, it's kind of a dichotomy, right? We have one group of young people going back to church, and we have one group of older people becoming more laicized. And what do you, I just, myself, I find it really shocking, to be honest with you.
And I think that that's I'm more hopeful when you have a younger generation that's going back to church, because it's not going to be long and they're going to be, taking positions of leadership and community and engaged in parishes and sending their kid to schools and standing up for those most vulnerable among us, and so that. I see that as a sign of hope, as opposed to, time heals all things. So it takes care of, if you don't like it, just wait a while and people
Oh,
go
yeah.
to the Lord.
Well, I remember 9/11, as I'm sure you do. We're coming up on a celebration of it. You couldn't get in church.
No, I know. I had, It was right that I was the chaplain at the University of Maryland, and it was packed with people who, and in a certain sense, it's a shame. That's why I find it so hopeful that you see people coming back to church, not because of a tragedy. They're
Oh,
coming back
that's
because
an excellent point.
a desire of their heart, or and you know what? That desire of their heart is really a desire of. They're experiencing God's desire for them. And that's what our call is not God is the initiator of all things. So any impulse that we have towards the good is God leading us to know, to bring us to what will bring us most joy and happiness.
And not to go too far afoot here, but going back to Catholic schools, I understand the enrollments are holding pretty steady.
Yeah, we've seen, it's the we've seen it. We've seen it up and look it up in Adams, St. Stanislaus, and I think there are communities. The when you look at challenges in enrollment in Lee, for example, in St. Mary's in Lee, it is just as reflective as enrollment in the public school. So it's more about the demographics of the neighborhood than it is a statement about the school. So those the public schools in the Central Berkshires are struggling also. And so we but we offer something that they can't. And that's the whole child and excellence in education.
I have to just go as far a little stray here. We got a new priest at St. Charles, Father Matt. He's a good guy, young guy. But when we go, I think of you so often when I'm there because He's giving a sermon, and the angel choir kicks in. The crying, the talking. For the people out there, the bishop refers to babies crying and young toddlers talking and singing or whatever as his angel choir.
Right.
And I'm not sure all his brothers, but I will tell you, when I hear it, it just, it makes, because I got three babies, four, three, and 10 months. We've taken them to church.
Right.
But I'll tell you, and a lot of the priests here do it, Father Matt. He lives in Scarsdale, New York, and the priests there at the 9 o'clock mass bring all the kids up to sit with him.
Right.
And that, my grandson looks so forward to that. And we've got pictures of him. He's just idolizing the priest talking. Right.
I always tell people, Bill, I tell our priest, I say, you know, when you're succeeding as a priest, the best sign is Cheerios in the pews.
Yes.
Cheerios in the pews are a sign that you're winning the battle. And that just it is. It means families are there.
Yeah. And you nailed it. They are angels.
Mm-hmm.
They are. They're crying. They're hungry. They're tired, whatever. Or they're singing long after the choir stops.
Right. It's the sound. That is the sound of a family at prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you, if you had to say to people, sometimes it's hard to get them all dressed and ready to go. But my family and I, we found out is once they get there, it's worth it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, especially the two older ones.
So when I was after a certain age, kind of an interesting thing, because there's eight kids. My sister's a nun. I'm a priest.
Yeah.
And so, you know, mom and dad went to church every day. They were daily communicants. After a certain point, because my mom was a Eucharistic minister at this mass or would be assigned to read at that mass, and my dad because of his work schedule, was not a consistent. So often we didn't go to mass together as a family.
Yeah.
You just had to go. Close enough, you could ride your bike. And in those days, you could ride your bike alone. And when we were in junior high, you had to show back up with a bulletin to show my mom to prove that you had made it, at least into the door of the church. And so I always think that's funny because it's not so much. It's like my brother has 10 kids.
Wow.
And they all, every single one of them was a D1 athlete in college.
Wow.
All lacrosse players. Two of them played football at UVA. And they went to mass all during college. And I always say my brother and his wife never came to mass on time. You know, 10 kids. But
yeah.
Never missed mass. So that was a non-negotiable. It is still a non-negotiable in their family. And their kids are all practicing as adults. So it just was like, this isn't an option. And your sports, and they all clearly succeeded in sports without, you know, and still were able to go to church.
Well, I remember us growing, I played football and hockey, and if you can make it, it's you're going to make it.
Right.
As you go through this process of realigning the diocese, strategic, and I like that word because that's the way you are doing it. It's not just a pure, just can you give us an example of some of the people that will be contributors? I know you've kind of ID'd some.
Everybody. There you go.
Oh,
everybody. Cool. We want everybody to be involved in this process, in the modeling and the decision. So there's going to be meetings, sort of town hall meetings type of thing, in each of the parish listening sessions. And then people, leaders in that parish will then take what they've heard, develop some suggested models, bring it back to the community.
Oh, wow.
So the whole thing all takes place within the community and communities. That's the name of it. It's called One Church, One Mission, Many Communities. And so who's going to be involved? Everybody.
Yeah. Isn't that really community, Catholic community?
Yeah.
The basis of the church?
Right. Go read the Acts of the Apostles. This is what they were doing. They were all gathered in prayer and discerning how they should move forward and where, you know, the idea, the creation of deacons or the formation of deacons, all of that stuff came from the community gathered together in prayer and faith and hope and love.
And for the other folks that are out there that have lived through the closing of parishes with really no input, and there's not, correct me if I'm wrong, but the bishop has no intentions of closing any parishes because that rumor will spread.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he comes to the table, prepared to listen and take advice from the people that are actually making the decisions.
And it's also going to be data based, so they're going to present how many baptisms, how much money do you have in the bank?
Yeah.
How many weddings do you have? How many funerals do you have? So that people, because if you asked most people in a parish how many baptisms, they would have no idea. And they might be thinking of a 1970s model where they'd say, oh, there was probably 100-something baptisms, and, you know, and they're not. So the idea is that people have to make informed decisions, because these decisions are going to affect their lives and their worship. And so they have to, that's why it's a bottom up, not a top down process.
You know, Bishop, something that is relatively new to me, and I really, I like it. And it's having a wake in the church. Now, I don't know what the church thinks about it, but as a lay person going in, couple hours before paying your respects and then going right into the mass and the goodbye, it's like continuum. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, but I mean, that's exactly...
the night before, you go to the wake at the funeral parlor, mm-hmm. you know, and then you get back in your car and whatever. And sometimes
that's the way I did it with my parents, I organized both of their funerals. And we did it in the church.
Oh.
So that the only thing about the night before, which we didn't, it's not, is that if people can't make the funeral, it does provide
right
an opportunity for that.
Yes.
Even if they can't make the funeral, well, they can write a note or call you later and say, I really wanted to go, but I was in out of town. And that's, I agree completely with you. I think it's also really nice because it's in a sacred setting.
Yes, that's, I guess, what I was. You should really look into it. You could have a big time.
I think I'm going to take it up. Maybe I'll see if I can get online course.
How to be a bishop.
Yeah.
But we've had several. And I will tell you, it's more spiritual.
Right.
When you walk in front of the casket or the urn or greet the family in a church, it's just, to me, brings everybody closer to why they're there. It's not, you've waited in line for 20 minutes. You know, our funeral homes aren't as big as a lot of places. And sometimes you're out the door.
Right.
For 25 minutes. And I've seen people just say, I got to go, you know. Where in a church, you can wrap around.
Right. You can wrap around, and also it gives you a chance to be there, say a prayer. It keeps the whole thing more solemn. And it's also, quite frankly, it's I think it's less exhausting for the family. Having a two-day event, you know, having to be there from 4 to 7 the night before, get up, and then go and do a funeral the next day, and then a burial on top of that, that's a lot. You know, especially if it's an older person and there's a widow or whereas you sort of the one stop program makes it easier, I think, on the family.
It's also kind of your house.
Right.
When I was a kid growing up, and I won't mention names, there were a family and they had about, I don't know, 8 or 9 kids. And but the father had like 6 brothers and 3 of them were priests and they got laid out in the living room.
Right.
The old Irish,
the old Irish way.
Yeah. And there was something about that too, that they came home to say goodbye.
Right.
I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, but all I do know is that, I hope and pray that, one, you stay well and keep walking. Actually, they told me to do that. And I used to do 10,000 steps a day when I could.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, now I'm down to like maybe 3. it's not the heart anymore, it's the lungs. Right. But what words in closing do you have for the people out there, whether they're Catholic or not Catholic, about the overall culture today?
Well, I just want to remind everybody that God's in charge and that so we have to live as people of hope. We have to know, okay, no matter what, God, the good will always win. And even if we don't see it in the short term, we have to remember that the good will always prevail. And so we have to be people of hope. And I'm not saying a hope like, I hope the Patriots win. I'm talking about, I know with confidence that love will win no matter what. That's what real hope is. And so I want everyone who's listening to be people of hope and commit themselves to bringing that hope to others.
And I will, as always, it's been quite a while since we've had our chat. But for the people that watch this program regularly, not my morning drive, thank you for doing that. The bishop has always been kind and courteous with his time, and he's come on, and he's got this guy. He keeps him in line. I don't know how he does it. Last time I saw him, he was talking to a tree. His first name is Mark. Something about, I can't find the bishop, and the tree wasn't answering. But Bishop, thanks for being you.
I tell you, what a delight it has been to be with you yet one more time.
Well,
great blessing for me. I always enjoy it.
One last thing. How's our buddy, Father Malatesta, doing?
Oh, my gosh, he's doing great. He's such a help to me and to all the priests. And, you know, he's a pastor's pastor. He knows what it's like to... And for everybody there at St. Agnes, you know, I'm sorry he had to go, but luckily you had him for 20 something years, and that's a blessing. But he's doing really important work right now.
Well, you do know he is missed.
Absolutely, I know. People are not shy in telling the bishop what to think.
Not like the old days. Bishop Burns, thank you for your time. Mark, thank you for all your help coordinating this. And to the folks out of PCTV, I apologize for the faux pas, and I will take full accountability and responsibility. But be well, Bishop. And if you think of it, remember the old fat ball guy in Pittsfield.
I will. I'll be up there next week for Deacon Hager's funeral at Sacred Heart. So
yeah,
maybe I'll see some folks there on next Tuesday.
Yeah. Well, remember the old fat ball guy up here. But
I will indeed.
He certainly can use your prayers. And one last thing. When is this? And I'm what a brain. When are you initiating this strategic reinstatement?
Right now, the realignment is announced it. And then in the next couple of weeks, we'll be starting our meetings and our we're training facilitators right now.
Oh, cool.
And so just keep your eye on the bulletin and announcements in mass for when these gatherings will be hear what people have to say. And please, please, everybody that's listening and is part of the parish, please participate. We need you to be part of it.
And it's an open door. And I will say this, if you don't, it's on you.
Right. You can't complain.
It's like we're doing this show while we're recording it, and it's September 1st, voting day. So it's too late if you haven't voted. So don't complain until the next election, until you vote.
Exactly.
You don't vote, no complaints. Bishop, take care of yourself. Mark, thank you. And I'll stay for a few more minutes and sign off.
Okay. God bless you. Bye.
Thanks, Bishop. Remember me in your prayers.
I will indeed.
I want to encourage people to listen and watch WTBR. Everybody there is really trying and really, like today, while this may be a controversial show for some, it's a show that needed to be done. And I just can't thank the people. And we're going into our 40th anniversary. That's right. PCTV. And there was a guy, and I'm going to take just a minute and say, his name was Bernie Avalli. And Bernie was the CEO of PCTV from, I think it's inception. Bernie brought it to where it is. We now have WTBR and PCTV and streaming and all kinds of other things. It's hard work. It's the people there. It's the Dave Cachets, the Sean Sears, the Jeff Basilios, and Jody, and so many other, Bob Hack. People every day putting out to do the best we can, or they can now, not me anymore. On occasion, I'll come back just to haunt them. But I do want to also say thank you to all the people who have stopped me and Roseanne and said such nice things. It does mean a lot. And kindness costs nothing. And I have to tell you, I really get upset sometimes at various venues when I see how unkind some people can be. We're all carrying some kind of a load in this life. As me saying to the Irish mother used to say, nobody goes through this world unscathed. Remember that. You never know what the person that's in front of you or behind you is going through. To the team out at PCTV, WTBR, thank you for everything you've done for me over the years. I will say this. God bless. Let's take care of each other. Why? Think about it. Each other? That's all we have. Talk to you soon. Be well, be happy, be safe.